Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Cool, that's amazing. That's such a well-known psalm, that. And today I want to look at, I want to focus on verse 3, where it says, "Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence." And it's amazing. Probably a month ago, Mark had a preach, and he mentioned some of Psalm 91 in it. And when I went the next day, and I just went through his notes and read the psalm again, that verse just jumped out of me. Fowler's snare. And I thought, fowler's snare, why is that sticking in my mind? You know, it's a bit weird. And whenever that happens, I stay there a little bit, and I want to find out, why is this thing sticking in my head? There's a reason for that. And so a month ago, I know I was going to preach now. So for a month, I had to figure this out. God, what is this fowler's snare verse? Just doesn't want to go away. It keeps on coming back. And I almost did what Mark wanted to do at the conference, and just go a million routes of what is the fowler's snare and bring all the snares out here. And luckily I didn't. I didn't. And I'm just sticking with Psalm 91 today. I had lots of notes, lots of extra notes, and I chopped them off as I came closer to the day. So that's good. And so if you look at that verse, surely He will save you from the fowler's snare. So what is a fowler's snare? I mean, it's not something that we use today. Maureen, just excuse me, I'm going to go out and I'm going to set some snares, or, you know, I'm going to catch dinner. But the fowler's snare is a hunter, and obviously a snare is a trap. So he's a hunter who hunts birds or small mammals. He's a hunter, and a snare is obviously a trap. So why would God save us from the hunter who hunts birds? Or why would God save us from the hunter who go and hunts mammals? And there's a reason they paint that picture, or they use that word in the psalm, because the fowler's snare refers to the devil, old Satan. It refers to the devil. And so surely God will save you from the devil's traps. And while I went through this Psalm 91, there's a few things that I started to realize about the devil and about the traps that he's setting for us. And I want to talk to you about that, about the different traps that the devil sets for us. But let's look at this old, ugly, stinky fowler. Let's look at the devil a bit closer. You know, it'd be so easy if the devil walks in your home every day, and he presents himself as the devil. Big horns, ugly, smelly, and he says, "I am here," and over his shoulder he's carrying lots of traps. And he says, I'm going to set traps for you today. Everyone, I'm going to set a trap. And of course, we'll see, well, that's the devil, and he's got his traps with him, so I must stay away, you know. But it's not that easy, because the devil is very, very clever. Although he's the devil, he is very clever, and he knows our weak points. So I want to just talk about the devil a little bit. We don't always talk about him a lot, but I think it's good to see how he operates so that we can be aware of the traps that he sets for us. So let me talk about this devil. The devil is so clever. If you look at the fowler, or in the 1800s, that was massive. You know, they would go out and hunt ducks and birds and set nets and design different kind of traps to catch different birds. And one trap will work for one kind of bird, and then for a different kind of bird, he will design another trap or a net or something to catch that bird. I mean, I can remember when I was in primary school, I probably tried thousands of times to catch birds. I just loved it. So I would get home at school, get a box, put some food out, put a stick up, and then just go and hide around the corner, wait for the bird to eat the food, and then he just get close to it. I think, come on, get in. And then he gets in, and I pull the stick, and he flies away. And I think, oh my goodness, this is so difficult. And I think out of the 1,000 times, I got one, a dove. And I didn't kill it. I just got it, hold it, looked at it, and let it go again. But, yeah, anyway, but the devil doesn't work like that. He doesn't let you go so easily. So what the devil does is he designs, he's got probably a million different traps in his design closet for every person. And even while I'm speaking, you need to be aware not to step in a trap. Because I might say something, and you would say, oh, he's talking rubbish. That's exactly a trap. The devil wants you to believe, you know, I'm talking rubbish. I'll talk lots of rubbish other times, but not today. So let me just clear this. Everyone's got a trap with his name on. The devil's got a trap for every person. If there's 8 billion people on earth, there's 8 billion traps, and probably double that or more. And he camouflages the traps, and he hides them, so we don't see it's a trap, and we step into it. So let's settle that. Every person here got a trap with his name on it. It's not an issue of, oh, luckily I'm staying away from the devil and his traps. Luckily I'm a good Christian, I'm coming to church. Luckily I'm going to avoid all those traps. That is nonsense. The devil wants to nail every person in here. And not just Christians. The devil wants to nail every person. Every person. Because here's some facts. The devil hates God. He hates him. The devil cannot stand God, but he cannot do anything with God. He cannot harm God, but he can harm people. And people, God loves people. So that's why the devil is after every person, young and old, teenagers, dads, moms. He wants to take us out. He wants to destroy us. That's what he wants to do. So that's fact settled. Every person here has got a trap with your name on it. That's it. So don't think, oh, because I'm coming to church, or I read my Bible, or I'm a good person, I will avoid these traps. It's not like that. Everyone's got a trap. And you know what? Different traps for different people. Like the same with the fowler's snare, how he sets up a different kind of trap for a different type of bird or mammal. Exactly the same with us. So a trap that the devil wants to design for Maureen, it won't work on me. He will put a trap and I'll say, are you mad? I'm never going to get close to that thing. And it won't work on me. But then he pulls out a trap that will work for me, and Maureen will just walk past him and say, oh, sure, don't be silly. That's a trap. You know, I can see the devil miles away. So he designs different traps to catch teenagers, wives, husbands, grannies. You know, he's got a whole range of traps that he wants to do, or that he wants to catch people. And the sad thing is, The devil wants to destroy families. That's part one big trap. He wants to destroy families. He wants parents to turn against their kids. He wants kids to turn against their parents. He wants families to be broken apart. He wants relationships, marriages. He wants them destroyed. That's it. Bottom line. He wants to take our health away. He wants to let us worry. He wants to bring anxiety. That's the devil. That's who he is. And that's what his plans are. Why? Because he wants to take us out. He wants to kill us. That's it. He wants to make us ineffective, unproductive, lukewarm Christians that sit in a church. Or if you're not saved, he's just going to kill you. There's no easy way of putting it. At least if you're a Christian and you believe in God and you've a believer, a Christ follower, you've got Psalm 91. But a person who is not a real believer, Psalm 91 is not going to mean much for him. So let's look at what the devil looks like. Let's look at the trap quickly. So we know the devil is a sneaky, sneaky person, and he wants to get us. Different traps, he wants to get us. Let's look at the traps quickly. So when the fowler snares, when the fowler goes out, he will cover his trap. He will camouflage it so that you don't realize it's a trap. You won't get any bird or fox or whatever and walk closer, see the trap and say, oh, I know that's a trap. I'm going to step in it. I mean, it doesn't happen that way. Why does birds get caught in traps? Because they don't know it's a trap. And exactly the same with us. The devil will use things like sin. You know what? That is not really sin. That's not really sin. It is, that's entertainment. And if you do a little bit of that, no one will know. No one will know. It's not sin. Sin is bad people. People who kill, and that's sin. But what you're doing, no. That's not sin. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. So let's look at the definition of a snare. It's a trap for catching birds or mammals, typically one having a noose or a wire. Okay, so this is getting interesting. So definition of a noose, a loop with a knot tightening as the rope or wire is pulled, used to trap animals or hang people. Now you know what a noose is. So if you think about this, it's just a rope with a knot on and it's loose. And that's the whole idea. And as the animal steps into it, he triggers the trap. It pulls around his leg or his arm. And as he pulls away, that thing gets tighter and tighter. And that's exactly what the devil is doing. So we step in a trap. We realize, oh my goodness, I am caught here by something. Something's got a grip on me. And the devil say, no, keep it a secret. Keep it quiet. Don't make a fuss of it. It's not a trap. And then you start to live with that noose around your leg or around your arm. And it's uncomfortable and it restricts you and you don't step in the fullness of God. And you realize, oh, I'm actually in trouble. And the devil comes and he say, ah, listen, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. That will go away. Just get used to it. It will go away. And as we start to try and pull away and get away from this trap, thing gets tighter and tighter. And you know the thing about traps? There's a whole thing about secrecy. Because it's hidden and it's away and no one is about to see it. But every person steps in it. Every person steps in it. And what the devil wants to do is say, you keep your trap quiet. Hide it. Don't tell anyone. Okay? Because as long as it's in the dark and it's kept a secret, you will struggle alone with that sin. You will struggle alone with that trap that the devil has got you. And as soon as you get to someone, another person or a Christian, you say, listen, I'm struggling and I feel like I'm going around the mountain 1,000 times. You'll be able to see, listen, I think that's the devil and he's got you in a trap. I said, oh, okay, what are we going to do to get out of this? But if we don't and we try and stick it out alone, we'll just pull and pull and the thing will get tighter and tighter and tighter. And you'll never get free of this noose, of this trap. So don't let it stay in the dark. Don't, when you figure out you're in a trap, don't stay alone. Don't hide it. Just come out and bring it into the light. So This is what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to set traps for our wives. The devil wants to set traps for wives. The devil wants to set traps for our wives. And Diane, he wants to set a trap for you too. And for Sue, and for Faye, and for Terry, Chris. sorry about that. But for every wife in Yetra, the devil wants to set a trap for you. He's got a special cupboard, and he says, traps for wives. Because you know what? There's certain traps that's going to work on our wives that will not work on the husbands. As easy as that. The devil is out to get our wives. Here's the next one. The devil is out to get husbands. The devil wants to get the men in the church. He wants to get husbands. And there's certain traps in the cupboard for husbands that will only work on them, that will not have any effect on the wives. And you know what? Part of my preparation for today, I had 5 or 6 things that I want to go in detail about different traps. And I just felt to cut it off, not to put it in. And this is what I want you to do this week, is to take time, take Psalm 91. Look, let's settle the thing. There is a trap out for you. And we'll get later, we'll see, sometimes God saves us from it, sometimes we avoid it, but sometimes we do step in it. And go home, take time with God, read Psalm 91, and say, and just quiet yourself. Go to a place where it's quiet, where no one bothers you, and say, Holy Spirit, will you highlight traps in my life? Will you highlight some of the traps that the devil is busy putting out for me? And maybe you're in a trap at the moment. And let the Holy Spirit show you that. Because the fact is, there are traps. And some of us are in traps at the moment, and some of us are heading towards traps. Then there's traps for teenagers. He's setting traps that will only work on teenagers, that parents will walk in and say, oh my goodness, what are they doing? They're heading straight for the trap. That won't work on adults. And it won't work on toddlers, and you know, it won't work on grannies and grandpas, but it will work on teenagers. And go home and say, God, will you show me traps in my life? You know, and it can start with a little thing. A trap doesn't have to be a massive sin or anything, or a massive danger. A trap starts with a little thing. I wonder what they think of me. I wonder what they say of me. You know, what will I look like when I do this or say this? Or it's identity. And the thing is, always go back to God and say, God, who do you say I am? Doesn't matter what other people say, but who do you say I am? You say, I'm a beloved. I'm a son of God. I belong to you, and God is pleased with you. And I think the important thing for wives as well is to guard hearts, guard their hearts. But I think that goes for everyone as well. But let's guard our hearts. A lot of the time, little offenses are traps. And you step in a little trap, a small offense, and that thing becomes bigger and bigger and bigger until you are in a massive trap that you can't get out. Matthew 18 says, if someone sins against you, you know, go to the person, talk to him. And many, many years ago, I had a revelation about that. Because I think what happens is people get offended, and then now they are really offended. And they say, well, it says in the Bible that if I'm offended, I'm just going to talk to the person, and now I'm angry. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says if the person sins against you, go and talk to him. If a person offends you, get over it. Get over it. Sorry, that's my take on it. That's my take on it. And look, I offend many people, and it's not that I want to do it, but I just sometimes do. But I don't mean to. But please, just forgive me. I will forgive you if you do it. Okay. I'll forgive you, and let's do vice versa. I'll forgive you easily as well. And look, I've been offended. And then I think about it for 2 seconds, and I get over it. And I carry on. Don't let little offenses stick. Just throw it off, throw it off. Let me see. And we all know our weak points. We all know our weak points. And the devil knows that as well. So the devil will have an array of traps, and he will try one after the other. Oh, that one doesn't work, that one doesn't work, doesn't work. He'll try lots. And then all of a sudden, toop, he's got you. And said, oh, okay, now I see. Now I see that's his weakness. Now I'm going to nail him. Now I'm just one after the other, and he just twist them and turn them a little bit, and you think, I know this trap, I've stepped in it twice already, and then you just change the color, or it adds something, and you're stepping in again, and he's got you again. So we have to be very clever and wise to figure it out, because he's not going to stop. And you know what, this psalm also makes reference to Matthew, when Jesus was in the desert. And the devil came out. And what the devil did, he was laying traps for Jesus. He said, so if you are the Son of God, then do this or do this. You know? So he was setting one trap after the other for Jesus. Doof, doof, doof. And luckily Jesus saw all of it. And he said, yep, I see a trap. I see it. I see it. Yep. There you go. So and it never stopped. It's never going to stop. He doesn't get tired of setting out traps. The devil doesn't get up in the morning and say, man, I'm so sick and tired of these traps. He loves it. He's going to carry on until we die. That's his job. He wants to trick us. He wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to make us unfruitful, unproductive. So I hope you're all depressed now, because that is bad news. Shish. There's no way out. How are we going to survive? There's millions of traps. He disguised them. They change all the time. How are we ever going to get out of this? So that's why we've got Psalm 91. God gives us some answers there. So let me, before I go there, let's go back to Psalm 91 a little bit and look at it. Before I just go deeper into some of those verses, I just want to highlight one verse. And it is verse 5, where it says, and I think a lot of Christians stumble over this verse sometimes, and it says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. And the sentence I want to focus on is, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. So I read that for the first, when I read that the first time, I thought, wow, okay, so terror of night, I'm safe. Arrows that fly by day, I'm safe, all good. Yep, pestilence in the dark, I'm okay. Thank you, God. That's wonderful. Phew, I'm going to be safe. But it doesn't say that. It says you will not fear the terror of night, and you will not fear the arrow that flies by day. What it is saying is, it doesn't mean you won't be affected by those things. You might get hit. You know, you might get arrows. You might get hit by arrows. You might get affected by terror of night. But what it says is, you will not fear those things. Because what the devil wants to do is, he wants to, terror of night, arrows by day, pestilence at night in the darkness. And we are so fearful, we don't step out in anything. We are so fearful and anxious about stuff that we are actually crippled and we don't do anything. And what God wants to say is, yeah, look, there is terror at night and there's the real arrows that fly by day. We are real targets and some are going to get hit. We are going to take, as we do this Christian thing, we are going to get arrows stuck in our back, in our shoulders, in our legs. But you know what? We don't have to fear that. Even if you lose your life physically, so even if you die, you still win because you end up in heaven. So, and I think with flying, some people that are scared of flying, and it might be heights or it might be spiders or snakes or anything. But for me, the first time I was on a plane, I thought, I'm a bit nervous. But then I quickly settled. I repented like 10 times. Oh, Jesus. And I got born again on the plane a few times. In the first time as I got saved. But you know what? I settled this thing. if the plane crash, I've got life insurance, my wife will be okay, and I'm going to end up in heaven. As easy as that. What's the worst that can happen? I can go to heaven. I hope it happens quickly when it happens, but there's nothing that I have to fear. Nothing. We are going to get shots. We are going to get arrows. There's terror at night. There's pestilence in the darkness. There's plagues. We will be affected by it, but we don't have to fear it. We don't have to be anxious about those things. So, that just verse out of the way. Nothing to do with traps, really, but I thought, let me just highlight that. Don't fear anything. Okay. So, now we've got two situations. We can have people here that's either in a trap, or we can have someone that's not in a trap, but we are heading towards it. But, look, we know there's traps ahead of us. So God gives us things that we can do to avoid it. But let's start in verse 1. And it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Okay. So first of all, who is God talking to? Who is God referring to here? God is referring to whoever. Whoever, it's open to the whole world, 8 billion of us, whoever wants to dwell in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Whoever, it's open. Muslims, Hindus, atheists, anyone, everyone, whoever can come to God. How amazing is that? This invitation is open for everyone. So God is saying, come to me. Come to me. If you're not saved, God is saying, come to me. And so what he's saying, this, whoever, this morning, you are getting an invite from God. You are getting an invite from God and says, you are invited to come and dwell with me. You know, when Jesus was crucified, in the Old Testament, they had tabernacled, no one was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies where God's presence was. No one was allowed there. If you would walk in there, you would die. You remember the picture in the Old Testament where the whole nation wanted to go up the mountain. God was meeting with Moses, and God said, just hold on. It's better if they don't come with you unless I break out against them. And God will annihilate people. Everyone will get killed. Because, not because God is a bad God or he's angry, we just don't understand his holiness. We just don't understand how holy God is. We try and bring God down to our level. I mean, there is nothing bad in God, nothing. God is pure love. God is pure holiness. And that's why people couldn't get close to God. And there was a holy of holies and a thick curtain closed, and that's where his presence was. But then Jesus got crucified, and he took all the sin, our sin, on him, and the wrath of anger of God on Jesus, and that curtain was torn, and God says, now you can enter into the Holy of Holies. And this is an invite this morning where God says, whoever, is an invite from God saying, come into the Holy of Holies, come into the presence where I live. Come and dwell there. Come and make your living there. Come and make your home there. Come live with me. Don't just tip your toes in it every 2 weeks. Come and live with me. That's the invitation from God. Come and make your home there. Whoever dwells in this shelter, that shelter is protection, refreshing, comfort. Whoever dwells, whoever lives with God, will have his refreshing, will be refreshed, will be comforted, will be protected. He's a guest of God. So God is inviting us into his comfort, into his security. What a beautiful picture that is. And then he says, when you do that, when you make your dwelling, when you make this holy place your place where you live, you will rest in my shadow. You will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And that shadow is security and peace. There's no anxiety or fear or anything. That is security and peace. And I love verse 2. And it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. How amazing is that? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. And this is what God is declaring to us. He is saying, God is your refuge. God is your fortress. God is your God. Exactly what Mark said during worship. God is the God of Monica, of Mac, of every person sitting here. And that's exactly what God is saying. So we can have the confidence to stand up and to say, God, you are my refuge. God, you are my fortress. You are my God. It's mind-boggling. It is mind-boggling. Let's look at refuge. It being safe and sheltered from pursuit or danger. Safe and sheltered. We are safe and sheltered with God. Fortress. It's a fortified, it's a strong place. It can also be a person who is not affected by outside influence. God is not affected by outside influence. He's not affected by weather, by the devil. God is not affected by anything. So He is our fortress. He is our refuge. And then God is my God. He's the God of Maureen and Armand and Tyler and Brendan and every person sitting here. He is your God. He is my God. And God invites us to come and dwell with Him. Come and make our living with Him. And then we'll be sheltered. And then He says, when you do that, I will save you from the fowler's snare. So there's a condition. So this Psalm 91 is not just an open blanket, a promise to everyone in the world. Look, the invitation is there, but the promise of the shelter and I will save you from this snare is not available to everyone. There's a condition in there. And the condition, if you go to verse 9, it says, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. And that is one trap we have to watch out this morning. So we can sit here today, and we can hear this wonderful psalm, and say, God, you are amazing. How amazing that you give us an invitation. We can dwell in the shelter of the Most High. We can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You are our refuge, our fortress, and the God whom I trust. Oh, wonderful. Thank you, God. You are amazing. And there off I go. No, no, no. It says, God says, if you say the Lord is my refuge, if you go and claim that, if you make that yours, and you say, yes, God, I'm going to take you up on this invitation. I'm actually going to take the invite and I'm going to do what you say. If you say, yes, Lord, you are really my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. And when you do that, when you take time and you say, God, of maybe my 10 or 15 years of being a Christian, I haven't actually made you my refuge or my shelter. I want to do that. And I want to thank you that you are my refuge, that you are my shelter, that you are my fortress, that you are my God. And I want to say that of you. And I just don't want to say it. I want to actually do it. I want to do it. So there's a condition. We have to actually go and do this. It's not just something that we can hear and it automatically applies. We have to go and actually make God our shelter. We have to go and live in this dwelling place. So that's all wonderful. So what if you're in a trap at the moment? What if you're in a trap at the moment? So the one thing I mentioned earlier, that if you feel something is not right, there's something that I can't get away of, I'm getting trapped by this thing the whole time, and it's not always massive big sins. It can be, I have to watch what I'm saying. I have to watch how I say things. I have to watch my heart, attitudes in my heart. You know, it can be little things, but then in time it gets bigger and bigger and actually push you away and further away from God. So if you're in a trap at the moment, is don't keep it in the secret, because that is where the devil wants you to be. He wants you to believe that that is your trap, and it's not really a trap. It's uncomfortable, but you can live with it. So just stay there. Don't make a big fuss. That is the one thing he wants you to do. But don't listen to him. Go to someone. Walk with someone and get rid of this trap. Then the next thing, if you're in a trap, God maybe wants to get your attention. And you know what? We might feel sometimes like, oh my goodness, what is happening, God? What is happening in my life? Everything is just going haywire. It feels like there's storms and waves, and why I'm just getting up and I'm getting knocked down by another wave. And sometimes it can be God and say, listen, just quiet yourself down. You've got too much going on. You're busy ignoring me. Just quiet yourself down. And that happened to me a few years ago. I was busy ignoring God. God decided, okay, is that what you want to do? And God shuts everything down. And there I sit. Until I had to realize, God, what is going on? So God got my attention. He says, listen, you're in a trap at the moment. You have to get out. And it sometimes takes that for God to get our attention. And you know what? We don't have to wonder about these things. It's always helpful. If you think that is where you are, just talk to someone. And a lot of the time, if we just start to talk and we express how we feel, we hear ourselves, and all of a sudden it starts to make sense, and we realize, oh, this is where I'm at. And do that. The next thing how God gets us out of is, God gives us the power to say no to temptations. When Paul says, you know what, I didn't come with empty words, but I came with power. There is real power available in God. Absolutely real power. And it's not a power that you have to wind up and go to church twice a day and read your Bible for hours and, man, I hope God is getting my drift here and to build up to this power. It's in surrender that that power is available. It is when you let go of the trap, the noose that's around your arm, that's when it's starting to lose its grip. And you say, God, I cannot anymore. I cannot get out of this trap. I need your power. I need your power. Temptations. Temptation is not a sin. But stepping into the temptation and playing with it, yeah, that's a sin. But and God can give us the power to get out of it. There is real power available in God. God gives us courage. You know what? I can imagine when Mark was standing up in front of that crowd, you know, all sorts of thoughts that the devil want to throw at him. You're not good enough to be there. You've got nothing to say. You've got the wrong message. It just carries on and on and on and on and on. And you know what? God gives us courage. And that moment, the best thing is to say, God, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my God. I need your help right now. I need your protection. Come close to me right now. And it can be an everyday life. Everyday of life. If something comes against you, just stop and say, God, I've got no ability. I've got no control over the situation. Help me. And God will. And God will. Let me end with this. If you are born again, spirit-filled, alive in Christ, if God took you from the dark and he brought you into his wonderful light, if you are a Christ follower, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then this psalm is for you. If you are not, if you are just religious and you think you are a Christian, then the psalm is not applicable to you. And there is no hope, really, unless you turn to God. And that is my next point. So if you, and you know what, I was in church for 18 years and I wasn't a Christian. I said I was a Christian, but I wasn't. And that can be a trap. And let me tell you, there are thousands and thousands of people sitting in churches who are sitting in a trap that think I'm a good person because I come to church and I read my Bible every now and then. And I think I'm going to be okay. And the devil loves that. And he says, please stay there. Go to church. Read your Bible every now and then. Just stay there. Don't make waves. Don't wake up. Don't see the trap. You are good enough. You are not a bad person. You are not as bad as, you know, XYZ that's in jail, or the one who smuggled this, or the one who got or killed this person. I'm actually a good person. And because of that, I'm safe. I'm a Christian. And that is absolute rubbish. Rubbish. You can sit in church for years and go to hell. That is a very sad thought, but that's absolutely true. So if you are here today and you are a true believer, take courage out of the things that I've said today. God is your refuge. God is your fortress. God is your God. There's real traps, but He can get you out of it. He will make you aware of it. There's always a way out. We'll sometimes get arrows. We'll sometimes get knocked. But we don't have to fear those things. Even if we lose our lives physically, we're going to heaven anyway. But if you don't have that confidence, today, become a believer. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Don't just become a churchgoer. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay? Otherwise, there's no hope. The only hope is Jesus. That's it. As plain and simple as that. Let me pray for us. I want to thank you, God, for this psalm, Psalm 91. I want to thank you, God, that the invitation that you put out this morning, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I want to thank you, God, that this invitation is out there for every person. I want to pray, God, against the devil's lies, that even now the devil can come with lies and say, that invitation is not for you. And I want to pray against that, Lord God, that the lies of the devil, the traps will be exposed for what it is. Thank you, God, that you do this. Thank you that you invite every person here this morning. It's not just to hear this message, but to actually do something with it. If you say, God, help us to do something with this psalm. And I pray, God, that everyone here this morning will hear this invitation from the Most High God to say, you want to come and be a guest in this holy place. Come and be a guest with me. You can come and dwell in the Holy of Holies. And then you'll be in my shelter. You'll be safe. You'll be protected. You'll be refreshed. And you'll be in my shadow. There'll be security and there'll be peace. I want to thank you, God, that you say, you give us the liberty and you say, please say this. You can repeat this. God, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my God. Thank you, God, that we don't have to stand here and worry that, oh, what if I'm not good enough? What if I've sinned yesterday? I want to thank you, God, that you are much bigger than that. You are much bigger than that. I want to thank you for your grace and your forgiveness and your compassion that you've got for us, Lord God. I want to thank you, God, that you give us the power and the ability to see and identify the traps that the devil set out for us. And help us, God, to make time to realize this, that sometimes it's the little traps that get us. And when we're in the trap, doesn't have to be a big deal because there's traps for everyone. But just realize it and get out of it. And as we walk with you, God, and as we walk close with you, Holy Spirit, we'll be able to see and recognize those traps. And we'll see the temptation. Oh, I've been in that one before. I'm not stepping in that again. So, God, I want to pray for courage and boldness and the ability to see and realize these things. And sidestep them. Thank you that you save us from that you keep us away from those things. You are so good, Lord God. And my prayer is, God, that if anyone here this morning is not a true believer, is not a disciple of Jesus Christ, that this morning there's opportunity to do that. And if that is you, if you're not sure of your salvation, if you're not sure that you can enter the Holy of Holies, you can just pray in your heart this prayer. Jesus, I want to accept you. I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to ask you to forgive my sin. I want to ask you to wipe all my sin away. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you that you died for me, the sinner on the cross for my sin. Thank you that you rose again and that you are the Son of God. I want to put my trust and my faith in you. Do that, Lord Jesus. Amen.